Now, the Media Minister, Catherine Martin, will bring three RTE-related reports to Cabinet today. Two of the reviews make 116 recommendations. A third covers the Mazars investigation into the controversial RTE barter account. Our political correspondent, Paul Cunningham, joins me. There's lots of reading for ministers in these reports, Paul. They have yet to be published, but some of the key recommendations are known. So what can you tell us?
Well, it's a rather grim confirmation of what we've already known, that these two government commissioned reports identified a siloed culture at RTE, a highly complicated governance structure, poor decision making and an absence of financial controls. And they also concluded that the RTE board did not have enough visibility on what was taking place and at times accepted decisions by the executive without question. Now, the review of governance and culture was led by the formidable Professor Niamh Brennan, while a review of contractor fees and human resources was led by Brendan McGuinty, and they came up with, as you say, 116 recommendations, but probably five stand out. These include assigning the Controller and Auditor General as Auditor of RTE, updating the legislation governing the role of the RTE Board, reforming the approach to engaging and paying presenters, overhauling RTE's allowance system, which is complicated, and ensuring that severance schemes and staff exits are made fair and equitable, part of the problem which kicked off all of this crisis. And now what we understand is RTE will have 6 weeks to examine all of these reports and then decide if it accepts the recommendations.
So will Catherine Martin be seeking, is she presenting the reports to Cabinet today, or will she be seeking any Cabinet approval at this stage for a plan of action on funding?
No, the ball is firmly in the court of RTE. So she's going to show these reports, which reveal what was going on. Those reports then go to RTE. RTE has 6 weeks to determine. And what Minister Martin has said in previous weeks is that if RTE responds positively, then the Cabinet can move on to a final decision on the future funding of the broadcaster. So this is very much over to you, Montrose. You sort out and come back to us and let us know. I was on to an RTE spokesperson last night and they said they'll be making no comment until they've read the reports.
OK, any idea when the reports are going to be published?
We'd expect by the Cabinet meeting this afternoon, sometime around 2, so this evening it's going to be today anyway.
All right. Let's move on to this very pressing issue of accommodating asylum seekers, many of them now in tents along the Grand Canal. We're told there's additional bed capacity being identified. What's known and when will it become available?
Well, our reporter Karen Creed has been down on the canal and she says the numbers have gone up. It's gone up from 70 to 80. But last night what we were hearing is that the offers of accommodation are expected to come through this week and possibly as early as today. And this additional capacity has been located to help asylum seekers, but we don't know where they're going to be located, how many will be located and how those asylum seekers will be contacted. In the short term, the government says it's focusing on acquiring state-owned land in order to set up tented accommodation for future arrivals, but this will take a couple of weeks in order to complete and ensure that there's adequate facilities, because what we learned when they tried to clear away the encampment around Mount Street and for St Patrick's Day was that the facilities weren't good enough, so people just left.
So is it likely then, if it's going to take a couple of weeks, that the encampment at Grand Canal will continue there until an alternative is put in place?
Well, I think what they're hoping for is that the new places available in the coming days will be enough to assist there. But my understanding of it, and this isn't based on talking to government sources, my understanding is that what's happening down the canal will not be allowed to continue.
OK, well, two other unusual issues. A task force that the Taoiseach wants to put in place to rejuvenate Dublin city centre. What are his thoughts there?
Well, he's going to seek approval for the establishment, as you say, of a task force which will be charged with bringing forward recommendations to improve all areas where the public has access to and ensure the safety there. So the stated aim, I believe, is to make the city centre a more thriving, attractive and cityscape, a desirable location to live, work and do business, and a destination for retail, hospitality and cultural experiences. So what I understand, they're going to be setting up this task force. It's going to be given a short time to come back with recommendations and then they're going to move on to implementation. So you get that sense of what Simon Harris has been trying to do as Taoiseach, is to have short-term focus on events which can deliver results, and clearly this is one he's hoping will do just that.
And while we still await the completion of the Children's Hospital, the Maternity Hospital move to the St Vincent's campus, the Health Minister has another plan for two elective hospitals in Dublin.
Yeah, now we had previously heard and the Cabinet had approved a national strategy to build what they call elective-only hospitals in Cork and Galway and Dublin. And these are solely to treat patients who are on waiting lists rather than emergency departments. There's stuff already happening down in St Stephen's Hospital on Sarsfield Court in Cork and at Merlin Park in Galway. Now we hear that there's going to be two elective hospitals in Dublin and the sites have been chosen, Connolly Hospital in Blanchardstown and the current Children's Hospital site in Crumlin.
All right, Paul Cunningham, our political correspondent. Thank you. We're